The following message, "The Lord is My Shepherd," was based on Psalm 23. This message was delivered on Sunday evening, January 16, 2022, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Pastor Derek Reed of the Reformed Baptist Church of Louisville, Kentucky.
Let me invite you to turn to a beloved text and a very familiar text, Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. You were here when I shared my testimony, spoke of very briefly of my mom's sickness and her passing to be with the Lord. And it was in her final months that this psalm became very precious to her and precious to me. And over the centuries, many saints have found comfort here in Psalm 23. Before we read it, I want to point out there's two main pictures here, two main metaphors. There's first the metaphor, the picture of the shepherd. We see the shepherding imagery in verses 1 to 4. Even like we just saw in the psalm that we read, the Lord leading his people like a flock. We see shepherd imagery here. That's what we typically think of with Psalm 23, and for good reason. But we also see here in verses 5 and 6 the imagery of a host or a friend who is spreading a feast. That's in verses 5 to 6. We're going to focus on the shepherd imagery tonight. So let me read the entire psalm, Psalm 23, the Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's go again to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these words breathed out by you, and even just the bare reading of them brings so much comfort to our hearts. And we ask as we open up this psalm that you would give us help. Lord, we pray your blessing upon this ministry, that our souls would be strengthened, that we would look to you in a fresh way. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, at the start of 2020, when there was still a lot of uncertainty about the pandemic, Pastor Jim began a series of messages, 11 messages, some of you might have been listening actually, called High Rocks for Troubled Hearts. High Rocks for Troubled Hearts. And that was based on Psalm 61:2. Very much like the psalm we just read, the psalmist is overwhelmed and he says, "From the end of the earth, I will cry to you," speaking to the Lord, "when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Lead me to that higher rock. And if Pastor Jim had continued that series, it could have been a very long series. If he had continued it, I imagine Psalm 23 would have been one of the texts he would have looked at. This is indeed a high rock for troubled hearts. And not just that, this is an anchor, like we were considering this morning. The doctrine of God's providence is an anchor for our soul. The truths that we have here are also an anchor for the believer's soul. And it's a soothing balm, the truths here, for the weary and especially for the dying saint. So the truths that we have here in this psalm, they're indescribably precious. They were precious to David. These truths were precious to David. They were precious to the Old Testament saints who came after David. But they should especially be precious to us, to New Testament believers. As we read this psalm and meditate upon it and take it to heart, these things should be precious to us because we read this And as we read this, the Lord being our shepherd, we should hear the voice of the good shepherd, the voice of Christ. And he said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So as we read Psalm 23, we should have Christ's voice and his words in our ears. Now, everything in this psalm flows from the opening statement in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything flows from that great opening statement. And what we see in verses 2 to 4 is an amplification of that statement. And by way of vivid illustration. So David here depicts for us what I'm calling three shepherd scenes. So shepherd scenes. You have one scene in verse 2. You have another scene in verse 3. And then the third shepherd scene is in verse 4. And each of them, each scene, is an illustrative application of that opening statement. Verse 1. You could think of these shepherd scenes as paintings. Three different paintings. So three landscape paintings side by side with a unifying theme, that being the Lord is my shepherd. So it's life under the shepherd's care is what we get a picture of as we look at these three scenes. But what I want to do first before we get to the shepherd scenes is to spend some time thinking about that great declaration in verse 1. So the great declaration of verse 1. The psalmist David says, the Lord Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. And the language here, it's simply beautiful language, and it's beautifully simple. It's 9 words in our English translation. It's only 4 words in the Hebrew. A very beautiful, simple statement here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And upon these few simple words, we can meditate our whole lives, and we could draw strength our entire lives from these few words. David calls the Lord his shepherd. His shepherd. And elsewhere, David calls the Lord his shield. As you read through the Psalms, he's saying, Lord, you're my shield. He also refers to God as his rock and his fortress. And there are other examples. But this imagery is more personal. He says, my shepherd. It's more intimate, this imagery of the Lord being his shepherd. Now, you know that David was a shepherd of sheep before God made him a shepherd or a leader of his people Israel. So with this shepherding background, David, in God's providence, is especially qualified to write these words. For David, this imagery, the shepherding imagery, it was familiar imagery, it was vivid, and it was powerful. Now, what should come to our minds when we think of a shepherd, and in particular a good shepherd? Because this was familiar for David, it might have been for the original hearers, but if you're like me, you don't really know much of anything about shepherding, except a few references in the scripture. But what should come to our minds? Well, we can glean a few things from God's word. Sheep without a shepherd, we know, are the epitome of helplessness. So sheep without a shepherd are the epitome of helplessness and vulnerability. So when Jesus looked at that crowd, as we saw this morning in Mark 6, they were like sheep without a shepherd. It was a pathetic sight. It stirred his heart to compassion. They're scattered, shepherdless sheep are. They're lost. They're vulnerable. They're exposed to predators. They won't long survive without their shepherd. They might be eaten by lions, bears, wolves. So shepherdless sheep are helpless and vulnerable. But sheep with a shepherd, and especially a good shepherd, are secure. They're secure. A good shepherd knows his flock, just like Jesus says, I know my sheep. A good shepherd knows his flock, and he cares for his flock. So he takes care of their basic needs, feeding and watering them, but he also guards the flock and protects the flock. And as we saw in Psalm 77, he leads the flock. So a good shepherd does all of these things for the flock. And one person says this, that the shepherd lives with his flock and is everything to it. is everything to the flock. And David is thinking about this and saying, the Lord, my God, he's like that. He's my shepherd. The Lord, my God, is everything to me. He's my provider. He's my protector. He's my guide, and so on. And I imagine David would meditate upon this as he's out in the field and he's shepherding and he's thinking about the Lord's care for him. The Lord is my shepherd. Now notice from the statement, the Lord is my shepherd, David draws a conclusion. He draws a conclusion. Based on this truth, he boldly concludes, I shall not want. Or in other words, I shall not lack anything. Because Yahweh is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. Nothing that I truly need. And so there's great faith that we see here in this logic of David's. And I want to note especially two things about this statement in verse 1. And the first is that David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's not just a shepherd, but he's saying he's my shepherd. He is my shepherd. There's an intimate relationship here. There's even, we could say, a covenantal relationship here. He's my shepherd. One commentator says that the my reveals a pledged relationship. A pledged relationship. God has entered into a pledged relationship with his people. We call that a covenant. He's entered into a covenant with his people. You shall be my people, and I shall be your God. We hear that promise again and again in the scriptures, and that is at the heart of God's covenant of grace. That promise, you will be my people, I will be your God. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And there's an appropriate subjectivism in the Christian life, as we see here. Like David, we believers can speak of the Lord as our God, as our shepherd. And yet at the same time, we shouldn't forget that even though he's my shepherd, he's the shepherd of all of his flock. There is a collectivism, but it's not wrong to say he's my shepherd. You see, there's that subjectivism, like David could say. Say, he's our Father in heaven, but he's my Father too. He's your Father. There's an appropriate subjectivism that we see here. And I want to ask, can you say this tonight? David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that tonight? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Have you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd? The voice of the Good Shepherd. Hearing his voice, have you followed him? Jesus says, they hear my voice, they follow me. Have you embraced the shepherd? Is he your shepherd, the Lord, your shepherd? If so, if Christ is your Savior, this is a psalm for you. This is a psalm that you can take upon your lips, that you can meditate upon and find comfort in. So that's the first thing. He says he's my shepherd. But I also want to note, secondly, that David grounds this conclusion upon one thing. What does David ground this conclusion upon? It's simply, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, I'm rich and powerful, I have a mighty army, I have many servants, I have many goods stored up for many years, therefore I shall not lack anything, I'm secure. No, all that he says is, the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. So you see his faith there. It's resting in God alone. And have you reached that place in your own life where you say, the Lord's my shepherd, therefore I have everything that I need. Whatever might in his providence be stripped away from me, I have everything that I need. What would it take for you to conclude that you have all that you need, that you shall not want? Is it more money, more education, a house, better job? Better health, whatever it might be. David is saying, the Lord's my shepherd. I have all that I need. So even if I lack health, if I lack wealth, if I lack prosperity, that three-headed God, we could say, of our own day, health, wealth, prosperity. If I lack all of this, if the Lord takes it all from me, he's saying, I have everything that I need because the God of heaven and earth is my shepherd. Now, that logic does not make sense to the world. We considered this morning, and Pastor Villa was just saying again, the logic of Romans 8. The logic of the cross. And this is how we ought to think as believers. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If the Lord is our shepherd, shall we lack anything? And the answer is no. If you have God, the God of heaven and earth, as your shepherd, what do you lack? Do you not have everything in Christ? You have everything. Jesus himself says, my sheep hear my voice. This is again in John chapter 10. They hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So that's the great declaration. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And the remaining verses, especially the three shepherd scenes, flow from that and amplify that great declaration. So let's look at the first shepherd scene, which we have in verse 2. These are adding color and depth to the statement of verse 1. David writes, he, my shepherd, makes me to lie down in green or in grassy pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, the waters of rest. What we have here, no doubt, is a picture of the shepherd's care for his people. A picture of the shepherd's care. He brings them to these grassy pastures where they can eat, and he also brings them to waters where they might drink. But what we have here is not just a depiction of the bare minimum care. This is not the shepherd giving attention just to basic needs. There's more here. Because notice he doesn't merely lead the sheep to green pastures, but he says he makes them lie down. He makes them lie down in those pastures. He makes them rest. He makes them have refreshment in those green pastures. So you picture the sheep there. They're lying down in the green grass. Yes, they've eaten and they're there and they're resting and they're ruminating. They're chewing and they're chewing. It's a picture of rest, a picture of refreshment. But then also notice he doesn't merely lead them beside waters, but David writes under the inspiration of the Spirit, it's still waters. And even better, we could translate this, he leads me beside waters of rest. Now, it's not that the waters themselves are tranquil and are at rest, but these are the waters by which the sheep may find rest. So it's a picture of peace here. This is not just the bare minimum feeding and watering, but this is the shepherd giving rest and refreshment to his sheep. It's not just care, but it's tender care. This is, as one person puts it, refreshing care, a picture of refreshing care here in verse 2. It's the shepherd's, the Lord's loving care. It's his careful provision for the flock, his concern for their whole well-being. That's what we see here in this first shepherd scene. Now, this scene is all the more beautiful if we think about the context here. You think about the landscape in Israel, and green pastures and waters did not dominate that landscape. It wasn't like here in the Northwest. It's lush and there's lots of water. That wasn't the case here. If we could pan out from this shepherd scene, this little snapshot this oasis, what we would see is this barren land. We would see thirsty soil, cracked and thirsty soil. So this stands out as all the more beautiful as we think about the context here, about the geography in particular. It's a peaceful scene. And pleasant words come to our minds and should come to our mind as we think of this. Words like rest and refreshment and security and contentment and peace. And well-being, he's saying the shepherd provides all of these things for the sheep. But we ask, what can David mean by this? What does he mean? Is David saying that life under the shepherd's care, under the care of the Lord, is he saying that it's a bed of roses? Is David here telling us that it's always easy? It's always green pastures. It's always a nice vacation, whatever it might be, free from pain, free from things that might tempt us to be afraid. David's not saying that. David's own life is an example for us that he clearly does not mean that life under the shepherd's care is just a bed of roses. And even the third shepherd scene, verse 4, is evidence too. Because he's saying that we might be led through the dark valley. So that's not what David is saying. But David does mean that life under the shepherd's care is good. If the Lord is your shepherd, you can say life under his care. It may not be a bed of roses, but it's good because he's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack rest and peace. The believer in Christ, having Christ the Lord as his shepherd, has true rest and true peace that the world doesn't know. We receive that rest for our souls. We're at peace with God. Through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Whatever happens, we can say, and only believers can say this, that it's well with our souls. Whatever happens, it's well with our souls because Christ had made peace between God and us. Philippians 4, right? That peace of God which surpasses all understanding and it guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We have that. If the Lord's your shepherd, you're trusting in Christ, you have this peace, true peace and rest. But not only that, the person who has the Lord as his or her shepherd has true satisfaction, true fulfillment. They're satisfied. This world is a barren wilderness. There's nothing in this world to satisfy our souls. You know this. People spend their whole life looking for something in this life, in this world, to satisfy themselves. So they move from here to there, from job to experience, whatever it is. They're looking for something and they can't find it. It's because only the soul can only be satisfied in the Lord. And that's what we have as believers. If the Lord is our shepherd, we have true satisfaction. He cares for us. And he makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. And he richly satisfies us. Now, how often have you experienced this in your life? You're weary. You're worn. You're exhausted from just life. And you need refreshment. And you don't know how you can go on. And yet you find that the Lord refreshes you. And he gives you rest in the midst of your suffering and pain even. How often on the Lord's Day have you come, maybe even today, and you're totally spent. And you almost feel that you've lost heart. And you come and you find that the Lord leads you into green pastures and he feeds you there. And beside still waters. And you find that your soul is refreshed as God feeds you by his word, with his word. And by the power of his spirit, you feel your soul lifted and you feel a solid joy returning to you as that focus again is we refocus and we feel that we've been refreshed again. The Lord is doing that. The Lord is our shepherd. He does that for us. He refreshes us as he cares for us. And I believe that's something of what David is getting at in this first scene. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside still waters. The second shepherd scene is in verse 3. The second shepherd scene. And the picture here is of a shepherd restoring a wandering sheep. Restoring a wandering sheep and then leading that sheep back onto the right path. Look at verse 3. He restores my soul and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, he restores my soul could mean that he refreshes my weary soul. However, David has basically just said that in the first shepherd scene of verse 2. Saying that our shepherd refreshes our weary soul. I think David means something different here. This verb to restore is a very common verb. It's the 12th most common verb in the Old Testament, appearing about 1,050 times. And its basic meaning is to turn or to return. So often this verb is used to describe man's repentance. Turning from sin, turning to God. When the prophets of the Old Testament come, they're calling God's people to turn, to repent. It's often this verb. David, though, uses a form of the verb that gives it a causal meaning. In other words, the Lord causes me to turn. And that's why we translate it the way that we do. He restores me. He brings me back. He causes me to turn around. So that's what he writes. He restores or brings back my soul. That's another common word, soul. Very common in the Old Testament. What does that mean here? It often simply stands for the man himself, the whole person. We still use it this way today. We say, how many souls were aboard the ship? Or the plane, whatever it is. How many persons were aboard the ship? That's how the Bible uses it. One way that the word soul is used. It can also be a poetic alternative for a personal pronoun. So he restores my soul could simply mean he restores me. He brings me back. And I believe that's the right translation, the right way to think of this. David is saying he brings me back. But back from what? Back from his wandering. Back from his wandering. So to paraphrase it, when I turn from the Lord, he turns me back around. Now, this fits not only with what we know about sheep. We know that sheep are prone to wander and they need guidance. But it also fits with the next line because he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. He restores me to the right path. He turns me around and then leads me in those paths of righteousness, or the right paths, we could say. So you see the picture. David is saying, when I stray from the right path, the Lord, my shepherd, brings me back and then he leads me in those right paths. So you see the picture here. It's a wandering sheep being restored. So in a word, what we have here is a picture of guidance. The first picture was refreshing care, and here we have a picture of the shepherd's guidance. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack guidance. Now, David's own experience is a perfect, although a sad, illustration of this. You know David's sin. David sinned, fell into terrible sin, and he even lived in a backslidden state for some time. You can see the story in 2 Samuel 11, the sad story there. Now, what did the Lord, David's shepherd, do? Well, in time, the Lord restored his soul. He turned David back around and set his feet on the right path. And he did it, not for David's sake, but he did it, as we read here, for his own name's sake. He restored David. He sent to him Nathan, the prophet. And Nathan confronted him and he confronted his sin. And he said, you are the man, David. And David was broken. God granted to him true repentance. So with a broken spirit, with a contrite heart, David humbled himself and he confessed, I have sinned against the Lord. Now this was after perhaps several months of being in this backslidden, wandering state. So David is the wandering sheep that the Lord has turned back to the right path. His soul has been restored. So as we look at this, there's warning and there's encouragement. warning and encouragement here for us. The warning is obvious. It's a warning against wandering and against backsliding, of going away from the Lord. No Christian is immune to that. And if we stand, if we think we stand, we ought to take heed lest we fall. No believer is immune from wandering, the strongest believers even. David was a strong believer. Until the day we die, until our souls are perfected in holiness, until we're in the presence of the shepherd himself, we need to be on guard. We need to be guarding our hearts with all diligence. We need to be watching and praying lest we enter into temptation. And we need to be using all of the means of grace, especially coming here on the Lord's Day, using the public means of grace. God uses these things. The shepherd uses these things to keep us, to guide us, and if necessary, to bring us back on the right path. In a room with this many believers, it's possible some of us have begun to wander, have begun to stray, and pray to the Lord and ask, Lord, is that me? Am I the wandering sheep? And then take heart that the Lord does restore wandering sheep. If the Lord's your shepherd, you shall not lack guidance. But that guidance may be restorative. That guidance may involve a heavy hand. That was David's experience. As we look at another psalm, not Psalm 51, but Psalm 32, it's very likely that Psalm 32 is David spilling his heart during his backslidden state, or at least part of that psalm. And he says that God's hand was heavy upon him. He experienced that heavy hand of God, and he was miserable for a time. And it's possible that the Lord might do that. The Lord, if you belong to him, he will not let you wander away without his heavy hand upon you. His loving and yet heavy hand upon you to bring you back into the right paths. Now, if you think that perhaps you've begun to wander, what should you do? Well, do what David did. You confess it to God. You repent. And something that's been so helpful for me through the years, somebody gave me this advice one time. Take Psalm 51, David's prayer of repentance, and make it your own prayer. So many times I've done that throughout the Christian life, and God has helped me through those words to repent and to take those words of David. So when David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Make that your own prayer. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Lord, I need a thorough washing. And as you read that and as you think of it, let yourself think of Christ and of his blood and the washing that we have, that complete washing of our sins. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. And then later in Psalm 51, these words, he's not content just to be cleansed, but he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore me. Put me back on the right path. That's repentance. We have a picture of that here. If the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not lack his tender, refreshing care. That's the first scene. But we see also his guidance. We shall not lack his guidance. But now we have the third scene, and this is the climactic scene. We see it in verse 4. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The picture here is a sheep led by his shepherd through a dark and a dangerous valley where there's evil. Evil lurks. Things that might harm the sheep. Things that might even devour the sheep and take the sheep's life. That's the picture here. Even though I go through this valley. And the sheep we see, David, he's saying, I will not be afraid. He fears no evil. And the reason is because the shepherd is beside him. The shepherd's beside him with his tools, his rod and his staff, the shepherd's tools for guidance and for protection. So he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even if I go through this path, if you lead me through this path, you're there, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What is this? The shadow of death. It's one word in the Hebrew. We find it 18 times in the Old Testament. And it may refer to extreme danger or to deep darkness, but it also, the shadow of death, may refer to death itself. So whatever the case, whether David's talking just about extreme danger or whether he's focusing upon that last final trial of death itself, he says that there's much comfort for those who have the Lord as their shepherd because the Lord is with them. So when we go through the darkest valleys, even when we face death itself, we can say with David, if we have the Lord as our shepherd, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Notice the change in pronouns that David uses. He has been saying what he, his shepherd, is doing. Third person pronoun, he, my shepherd. So we expect here that he would continue that. I will fear no evil, for he, my shepherd, is with me. We would expect that, right? But what David says is, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He changes the pronoun. And it's a subtle change, but it's full of meaning. Because it's communicating something of the nearness. A poetic way of communicating, my shepherd is with me. He's right here with me as I go through this valley. And the Lord doesn't promise to keep us out of the valley. In fact, he may lead us there. This may be one of the paths that our shepherd leads us through. The promise is that he'll be with us in that he'll never forsake us. He'll be right by our side, even through the final trial of death. So we have here, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack his presence. I shall not lack his refreshing care. I shall not lack his guidance. And I shall not lack the shepherd himself. He'll be with me. And let me just ask you this. If this is true, what can we not endure? If the Lord is our shepherd. And I was just thinking a couple days ago, and at prayer meeting I shared this. Somebody in my family had a recent diagnosis, my grandfather's second wife, of a very serious, the same brain cancer that took my mom. And it's shocking news. And I was trying to think, Lord, what would I be thinking? What would you be thinking if you had that news that there was something in your body growing that was going to take your life and take your life quickly? Or you could think of so many other scenarios, whatever even your worst scenario might be. I think it's good for us at times to go there and then to take the promises of God there and say, it would be okay because the Lord is my shepherd and he's with me. I don't know exactly how I would respond to news like that, but I know that God would be with me and that he would be strengthening me. And I know he would give me grace just as he does for thousands and thousands of saints in the past and here in the present and in the future. So we should take these words to heart. They're a high rock for us in troubled times when our hearts are overwhelmed, an anchor and a soothing balm. And I realize it's easy to say this now. It's easy to say this if, and some of you, I don't know, you may be going through such a time that you would say, this is the valley of the shadow of death. And I would encourage you with this. Just meditate upon this and ask God, just press this into my heart that I would believe it and draw comfort from it. But if you're not going through this, I realize it's easy to say these things and to say amen when things are going relatively well. But still, we know this is true because God's word is true. And many have found it to be so. Many have faced those trials and have had no fear. Or at least they have found the Lord giving them comfort and giving them help and saying, the Lord is with me. He's not abandoned me. He's beside me. He's still caring for me. So If we have the Lord as our shepherd, we can say that. And can you say that tonight? So I just end by asking that. Can you say that? The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. And if you can say that, you have all that you need. In Christ, you have all that you need. You shall lack nothing in life or in death. You have everything. And if you can't say this, if the Lord's not your shepherd, I would ask, can you hear or do you hear the voice of the shepherd calling? Christ calls. He calls needy sinners. He calls those sheep without a shepherd. He has compassion for them. Christ is gentle and lowly. His heart is moved with compassion at the sight of suffering and especially those who are in spiritual darkness. And so if you're not a believer here, hear the voice of the shepherd calling to you, saying, come to me and find rest. Rest for your weary soul. Come and find that satisfaction that you're seeking in 1,000 other places. It's found only in Christ. He says, I'll give it to you. A free gift. Come and receive it by faith. Receive that rest for your soul. Receive life in Him. We find all we need, those who come to Christ in faith, and only such are able to take this psalm upon their lips. And I'll close with this. Only such are able to boldly say with David, as he concludes this psalm in verse 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these moments to reflect upon your word. We pray that these few words, these beautiful words, would be taken to heart by all of us here. We thank you that we can pray to you as our God and our shepherd. We thank you for your care. We thank you that even this day you have led us to green pastures. You've led us to your word. We've been fed, and we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would now work and take those truths that we've read, that we've heard, and Lord, even in private, that we've meditated upon. And we ask, Lord, that you'd refresh our weary souls. Do strengthen us. Give us help for another day. We pray that we would trust entirely in you. And Lord, bless these people here, your sheep whom you care for. Thank you for your care for them. And pray they would know that care. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.